Can you explain the process that DEP will be taking to ensure that the 2017 rules are not delayed the way the 2014 rules were?
I can, sir. One of the things we made sure was to already propose a 2017 standard for biodiesel so that we could make sure to keep on track. And we have every interest now that we're on track to stay that way.
For those of us who believe in alternative fuels and renewable fuels but think that cellulosic fuels are really the next generation of this development, can you explain the update on the Inspector General's investigation regarding climate impacts on the renewable fuel standards as to using food to produce fuel is the most effective way to do that, and whether that doesn't, in fact, create more pollution issues?
Well, I know that there's been a number of looks at this issue and investigations, but my job as EPA administrator is to implement the law that's been given to me.
Which you said is probably the most difficult.
It is
law
a very difficult statute, yes. But it is very clear that cellulosic fuels have not progressed anywhere near what Congress anticipated, which is one of the reasons why those statutory levels are so difficult to meet.
Well, I want to move on to some local issues. As you know, California is a very diversified state as it relates to its agricultural production. The Environmental Protection Agency recently issued a statement on a risk report indicating that citrus and cotton honey contained higher levels of neonicotinoids than other honey, which would be at risk to pollinators. Now, because of the diversification of our crops, clearly we're sensitive. We grow a lot of almonds in California. I think we gave you some. I'm an almond grower myself. It does require bees, and we're sensitive to the pollination issues and therefore the impacts of bee deaths and colony collapses. But why single out two commodities that don't require bees, at least in my state, that, in fact, we go out of our way to accommodate bees because a lot of the proximity of these crops are nearby each other. And, in fact, recent reports have indicated that colonies have propagated and they're at higher levels now than the decline we experienced a few years ago.
Well, Congressman, we've been to your area of the country before together, and I understand how hard the almond growers actually work, not just to address the pesticide issues, but certainly to conserve water, and I appreciate very much all that work. We're happy to work more closely with you on neonicotinoids. The science is difficult, but it is growing, and it is getting... We think we're following the science in our decisions, and if there are issues that we need to resolve,
we're going to need more of your focus on this. The chairman and I last night were in a conversation with some orange growers who are dealing with citrus screening,
yes,
and they really think that they're being singled out, and because of the way in which the Environmental Protection Agency has approached this, and I will provide you more information to follow up. I want to, before my time expires, go to the larger issue that affects all of American agriculture, and that's the application of pesticides and herbicides and EPA's registration process.
Yes.
For most of us farmers, we live on our farms. The application of pesticides and herbicides is made with very cautious and cost-effective evaluations. We're concerned about the health impacts. We're concerned about the cost economic impacts. You're required to reevaluate your process on regulations or registrations every 10 years, but it seems a recent announcement portended for the adoption of a precautionary principle. Can you comment on your precautionary principle? And do you believe that zero risk is possible when using application of herbicides and pesticides?
Sir, we do not utilize the precautionary principle. Our decisions are based on the law, which is based on risk.
Do you believe zero risk is obtainable?
It is possible with some, not the way in which our laws require us to look at this, and we do not utilize that as the...
There have been court decisions, and my time is about to expire, where various applications of these pesticides and herbicides have been brought to the courts. And in some cases, we believe EPA has refused to defend its scientific decisions on the challenges of these courts. This is very serious. You're supposed to be the clearinghouse.
Yeah. Well, we vigorously defend our decisions in court. We do that because we believe we did the right decision based on science and the law. There are times when even a vigorous defense does not carry the day in the court, and we have to abide by those decisions. But in no way are we backing off of our decisions in the way in which we have always made them, which is based on the law that exists, and we're continuing to apply that and vigorously defend it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll have more information to follow with the witness.